Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is I Am Unique Wright, your DIY business coach here in Studio U. We're about to start this broadcast and talking about the grind. Being a business owner, the shit that you gotta go through to be a business owner. This broadcast is going to be a little vulgar and uncut. So if you have childish ears, please log off now. Because I'm kind of in a mood. And I just feel like venting today. Why not? I'm allowed to, right? I'm on my station. This is what I do. And this is what I can do. So we're going to start off right now with my beautiful intro that I've created. All right, we're going to start off with the intro. And I'm going to go get me some water. Okay? So for all you guys live, enjoy.
You are now entering Ultimate Entrepreneur Experience, the I Am Unique podcast. We talk about business, lifestyle, fitness, health, and mindset. Everything that surrounds you being a successful business owner. Hosted by yours truly, Unique Wright, your DIY business coach. Teaching you about marketing and lifestyle. Let's get ready to make this money. Thank you for joining my podcast, and I appreciate you being here. Please like and share this podcast with everybody around.
Pay people for technology and pay people to do stuff for us, or you pay out your ass because you don't know what the fuck you're getting, or you don't, you just pay just to be paying, just to be paying, if you got bread like that, right? But most people in entrepreneurship do not have that level of bread. You're usually new, you're going on faith, you're going on your dollar, and everything else. So being that entrepreneur, why is your real reason? Do you want to be an entrepreneur? Why do you want to put yourself in a predicament where if you do not get up and go to work, or you do not do the work that you need to do, that you will not make any money and you will not be able to survive? You won't be able to eat. Now, you 9-to-5ers out there who got jobs, man, all y'all got to do is show up on fucking time. Get there, show up on time, and do what they tell you to do. I have to show up on time, do what they tell me to do, find the people to show up for, present, hope that they like the presentation, keep it moving, hope that they feel, they think that I am the person who I am or I'm saying I am. I have to prove all of this stuff to them. There is no resume, because being an entrepreneur, your business is your resume. So you have to really put yourself out there, put that mentality, that ideology out there to make people believe that you are the most powerful person out there. Right? Give me some hearts. Give me some love. Give me some high fives for all you guys who understand, who are on this live, who are on here, who understand. Show me some kind of love. I need some love for somebody, a heart, an emoji, a middle finger. I don't care what you said. This shows some kind of comments. But going into this is what you have to deal with when you're dealing. You deal with people who are angry. You deal with people who can't control their emotions. You deal with frustration. You deal with a lot of things being an entrepreneur. You have to be a coach. You have to be a psychiatrist. You have to be everything when it comes down to being a business owner. All of these things you have to do. Okay? I don't care what you're selling. I don't care what you're selling. You're selling earrings. You still have to do the shit because you have to tell people they look nice. Sometimes their earrings do not look good on everybody, but hey, you want the freaking sale. So what are you going to say? You're not going to say, oh, no, those don't look good on you. And if you do say that, you have three other pairs lined up. I think these will fit you better. And this one will fit you better, too. And this one will fit you better, right? Hairstylist, somebody comes into the salon, says, hey, I want to look like Beyonce. We like, girl, we're not miracle workers. We just do hair, right? So if I don't have no edges and I don't have no hair, how you going to make me look like Beyonce? But now in 2022, we can make you look like Beyonce regardless. You know, we got that weave, we got that sewing, we got that lace. But back in the day, we did not have all of it. All right. Car salesman. I want a Maserati, but my credit score is 430. Then the next question is, how much you got down? I only got 500. I only got 500 down. Now, how do you, as the owner of the car dealership, tell this MF that you can't purchase this car because you don't qualify? I look good in it, though. Nigga, stop playing with me. So, we have all of that, right? We got everybody who wants with the that unwants, right? Then, let's get back to just basic real life stuff. We got technology. We got to figure all of that out. We have payments, payroll, business, sociology, mentology, gynecology. I know I'm making up shit right now, but that's how I feel when you're a business owner. It's like you have to be an expert almost at everything coming forward for you to be successful, or for people to believe in you. Or you can get in front of a couple of Bentleys, in front of a couple of mansions, and a lot of folks. And, yeah, I own this house, da-da-da-da. Do you know that that's pretty easy to do? Like, so you got two types of business owners out here that I've always liked to say. You got the smart ones and you got the dumb ones. A lot of dumb motherfuckers make money because they're dumb. And because they know that people will believe in them being dumb. You don't have to be smart to be a business owner. You really don't. You just have to know how to get people to do what the fuck you say. There's always some dumb motherfucker who wants somebody to lead them. I told you this was not a PG video, didn't I? Sorry. A little frustrated today. But long story short, other problems, other things of being an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur 101. They say it doesn't cost money for you to be an entrepreneur. It does not. You do not. You can be an entrepreneur with no money. To be a successful entrepreneur, it costs you 10% of what you want to make. Let's do the math on that. If you want to make $1 million, it costs you $100,000. If you want to make $1,000, it costs you $100. If you want to make $10,000, it costs you $1,000. Minimal. That's all I have to say about that. So, when you're going into this entrepreneurship and this entrepreneur lifestyle, understand, if you invest $100, you will make $1,000. If you invest $5,000, you'll make $500. If you invest $10,000, you'll make $1,000. Or if you invest $1,000, you'll make $10,000. That is really how this crumbles. The more money you want to make. Now, people are like, why are millionaires so unabundant? Well, if I have a show of hands of you guys out there in my audience, how many of you guys make $100,000? You need $100,000 to make $1 million. That is about what you need to make $1 million. So we're going to bring our guest on tonight, and we're going to rant together. This is a very uncut, true, live conversation. And we just going to get down and dirty with this shit. We going to get down and dirty. So if you're not ready to get down and dirty, or you don't believe the bullshit, the hype, the everything, then, you know, log off now. Hello. Hello. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I was hoping we did not have any technical difficulties because that has been my middle name for today. I'm serious. Well. I'm serious. And I just went on a whole rant. I don't know if you got to hear the first part of this conversation, but I just went on a whole rant about being a business owner and all the bullshit you got to deal with and how regardless to all the shit, you got to smile and nod.
You definitely do. I mean, especially when somebody approaches you with some negative energy, you know, sometimes we want to be real and give it back to them, but then we have to think that we are a business owner. We are definitely above that and kind of give them positive energy and hope that when they walk away from encountering us, our positive energy kind of comes all the way on them as well.
Yes. And that is so, so, so very true because I just dealt with that. I've had a person I'm working with. They were having a bad day. I was running behind. I was like, yo, handle this for me. Their bad day extruded onto my bad day. And then, or not my bad, I didn't have a bad day until this happened. And then I was just like, they told me about how bad their day was. And then I looked at their message and I was like, okay, so their anger right now is not towards me per se. It's towards you having a bad day. And this is my business partner in a venture. So I look at her and I'm like, why are you putting this out on me? But not everyone. Not to say it was wrong or anything else. I had to reel myself back in to be like, yo, you're okay. You're having a pretty fucking bad day. So I'm not going to take what you're saying personal right now. Because I can't.
As you should. And you never do. Even when you deal with people, whether it's personal relationship or professional, sometimes people have stuff going on and they don't know how to separate their emotions from whatever they're going through versus what they're dealing with in front of them.
Right. And that is the biggest thing when you're like dealing with people, when you not just in business, but people in general, when you're dealing with people, you have to understand you don't know what shit they done stepped in today. So if you didn't give them the negative energy, then you don't know where it's coming from. And sometimes you have to distinguish that.
Yeah, you do. And you got to have, you just have to, it's like, because sometimes you, like for your business partner, you know them, right? So you know whatever energy they was giving you might not have per se even been who they really are. It's just something they're going through. You should be able to determine that. But when it's people that you don't know, it's a little different.
Right. That is very, very true. But yes, but I try to give everybody. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's a little different, you know?
Yeah, I try my best to give everybody the benefit of doubt that, okay, you know, what you're trying to accomplish or your day or, you know, what may have happened to you today, reason why you're giving me lip or giving me backlash or whatever, it's not personal. And that's one of the biggest things as an entrepreneur. But I do apologize because I'm ranting today. And I usually come off and be like, yo, so hey, guest, what is your name and where are you from and what do you do? So let's start with that.
Okay. So my name is Natasha Duncan. I was born in Iowa and I was raised over. Prior to me moving to Atlanta, I was in Florida for 20 years before moving here.
Nice. And what do you sell?
So I have two businesses, but the one we'll be discussing today is Eccentric Ear Candy. Eccentric Ear Candy sells affordable costume jewelry. So not only do we sell the typical earrings, necklaces, and bracelets, we also sell body jewelry. So I have the nose cuffs, the nose rings, the nipple rings, the tongue rings, the belly rings, the tragus, the industrial, anything you have here, I have the jewelry for.
Nice. That is pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. What got you into this business? Why did you want to do this business? Yes, Iowa. I'm my second Iowa person. Instagram is setting me up with Iowa.
Okay. Well, what got me into it is, you know, one day I had on some earrings I got from a vendor, and the person, this young lady, was like, yo, where did you get the earrings from? And the first thing that came to my mind was, I sell earrings. So I'm like, oh, God, I just told this girl I sell earrings. So I went over to the vendor, which the boutique where I purchased the earrings from, and I said, hey, you know, if I want to buy the earrings in bulk, what, you know, how much would it be? And so I made my first purchase in bulk. I went to Florida and sold out. So when I came back to Atlanta, I said, okay, I might be onto something here. And I had my business partner, shout out to SoFi Beauty Beads. She actually encouraged me to, she said, I should do it. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm trying to tell people how to get on.
Did you have somebody call in?
Well, I don't know how to tell the people to call to get on.
Oh, it's a blog talk link. It's not for them to be talking. You just want them to watch, right?
Or they can listen, really.
Yeah. So if you're on Instagram, I am unique, right? You can go to my Instagram, and I'm live on Instagram. If you're on Facebook, you probably have to wait for me to accept you as a friend, but you can go on that. You can go on to Spotify to listen. and or Blog Talk Radio / I Am Unique Right to listen.
Okay. So I guess next time I come on, if you have me again, I will be more informative of letting them know how to actually listen. Because it's on the actual flyer itself. So the information is definitely there. I just don't know if some people are having a difficulty locating it. But
yeah,
that's your question. So, my business partner, like I said, shout out SoFi Beauty Bees, she actually said, Tasha, you should just do it. I said, well, I only have 20 pair of earrings. And she like, so what? So we did a pop-up shop with No IG Jeremy. And we did that pop-up shop. And, I mean, this is me with 20 pairs of earrings, right? And
right.
I really did not really sell. It just was traumatic for me because I definitely did not. I sold like 2 pairs of earrings and that's it. But that's when I learned that you have to know your audience.
Yes.
And you have to know who your consumers are going to be, and as well as making sure you have products for everybody and not just for a designated population, because everybody is different. So that's when I learned. That was my first experience, like, okay, doing the Afrocentric earrings, everybody's not into that. Some people are into more glam. Some people are more subtle. Some people like daggers in their earring, in their ear, or, screwdriver earrings. They like that eccentric stuff. So I broadened my horizons and I started looking for different vendors that can actually provide me that type of product so I can reach a larger market of consumers.
That is great. And see, that shows you the level of diversity that you have to have being an entrepreneur. Like, for real. Like, because most people get stuck on that one idea. I don't know what kind of earrings you were selling in the beginning, but say you were selling some big earrings that had African, Africa on it, right? Now,
mm-hmm.
if I go to the Dogwood Festival to try to sell those earrings, I'm only going to get like probably 1-2% of the people there because they don't, they're like, a lot of the demographics of the event is 90% Caucasian, 10% Black, 1% other, or you know my numbers, right?
Right,
so
right.
If you go to that, and then, so they're like, not white women are not, 80% of them are not going to put Africa on their ears, you know?
Right.
So that is the cool part about the diversity in that is now maybe you just do some studs or some diamonds or, something that's very low key or some hoops or some bling hoops or whatever. I've sold accessories before. So when you're saying this, like, it hits home because we used to do male stripper shows and we learned a lot about the demographics of women in Atlanta. I'm a medium small. Most of the people that are coming to these male stripper shows, like with Lush's events and everything else, they are extra large and above. So we figured out that you have to have a plus size lingerie selection to even cater to these women. Nothing is wrong with that. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, but coming from being a small medium, thinking mediums and larges would sell, it doesn't work like that.
No, you have to know the people. You have to really, like, before I do events, I actually research the event. So I kind of can gauge what type of atmosphere, what type of customers are going to be there. So what I do is I make sure I have everything there, but what I put out on display is more marketable based on the demographics and what I've researched and what I've seen. So you really, it's very important to know your consumers and to know when to bring certain products out for those consumers. So when I did the Reggae Festival, it was more so the Afrocentric. They didn't like the big glam, but you do have some people that like that, and they will ask you, do you have that product? And it's up to you as the business owner to make sure that you can capitalize off what those individuals need.
Yes,
and their wants.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the same thing that goes into selling properties or being in real estate or any avenue or revenue, any revenue source that you have being a business owner. Those are the things that you have to be prepared for. Because right now I'm working on selling, properties in the Dominican Republic, right? So
right.
The thing about that is a lot of the stuff that is being presented to me is pre-built. Now, an average investor wants to see and touch and be able to tour the property before they actually buy it. And this is just dirt right now. So I can't even give you a tour of what your apartment or your condo or your villa will look like because it hasn't been built yet. So with that being said, people will ask for what they want, but how can you sell imagination?
Well, it's like selling an illusion, but you can also show them, I mean, from a business perspective, you can show them something similar.
Right.
So they have an idea. Because even with me, even with some jewelry that I sell, you know, you have a lot of designers who have certain earrings and products that are over $1,000. And people, believe it or not, they want to have that look but with less money. So, and I do have people reach out to me directly and say, hey, can you get these? And so when they have special requests, I accommodate. But they don't see it. They don't see the replica of it. They only see the actual product in which they want. So it's up to us as business owners to be able to accommodate them in whatever way that we can.
Exactly. And that's the cool part of that's the one thing about being a business owner is the tenacity and the able to I call it diversity tenacity. You have to be like a rubber band, pretty much. You know, you have to stretch this way, you got to stretch that way, you got to stretch this way to make sure that your customers are being sold. Until, that's for startups, until you have actually figured out exactly who you want your client to be and what do you want to sell to them. And then wherever event that you go to or whatever you do, you're only targeting those kinds of people, you know.
But if you really want to be successful, I think it's important to try to cater to everyone. Because you're putting yourself in a box. You put yourself in a box when you try to only cater to a certain demographic. You want to be able to, well, for me, I can only speak for myself. I didn't want to be closed in and just focus on Afrocentric earrings as I did when I first started. That was my whole goal, Afrocentric. But I learned that sells, but not as much as the other avenues, such as the glam earrings, the more subtle earrings, because you have people with different personalities, and they have different moments and moods they want to be in. Sometimes they want to be Afrocentric. Sometimes they want to be simple. Sometimes they want to be extremely glam, and sometimes they want to be over the top where it's really, really eccentric. So my earrings, and I say eccentric ear candy, because we try to capitalize off people self-expressing through jewelry at an affordable rate.
Right. I mean, and again, that model works because accessories are one of those items that can be put in any place, in any demographic, anywhere, and 90% of women wear accessories. So I completely understand why you choose to go your route and make sure you have a wide selection of accessories for the clientele that you have. And you're right. When it comes down to jewelry, and accessories, if you look back at like a Claire's Boutique or one of those little boutique stores in the mall, the little accessory stores in the mall, they have from little loop earrings to kid plastic earrings to, you know, everything. Tiaras and everything else. So with certain brands, I believe that is perfectly fine because your cost doesn't change. Your cost is about the same thing. A pair of earrings cost you between $1 to $3 to $5. You retail it for $15 to $20, and you keep it moving. I mean, give or take the design. Some are more, some are less. I don't know her prices, so I'm just talking. So, depends on where she's buying them from, depends on how many she's buying. Huh?
You let people know the material, because everybody can't just pop a pair of earrings in their ear. You know,
no.
Some people just cannot do that. So one thing that I try to do is when people go to the website, I tell you the material the earrings are made of. So you automatically know what you're getting, and you already know if you're allergic to it or not. And when I'm actually doing events, I did the Talia Regine National Hair Show. I did the Black Wall Street. I did the actual women's conference, because I know my product. When people would ask me, what are they made of? The price wasn't even a problem for anyone. It was more so, what is this made of? Because I'm allergic to this. So I think what separates the essential ear candy from the Claire's and et cetera is that they get a more personable feel, and they actually can reach out and touch me and talk to me, and they engage and they get some healthy, good, positive energy too.
I mean, and that personality sells you as being a business owner, and why you have your repeat customers. Like, because people buy people, they don't buy things. And that's crazy that you understand that. Yes, and I'm one of those people who I only can wear a gold or a silver or certain things in my ear. Realistically, throughout my body, if it's not a precious metal or a stainless steel, I can't wear it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give me some nickel, I'll be green tomorrow. If you give me some fake whatever metal that's not a real metal, nope, in my ear will let me know within a good 45 seconds. It's crazy.
And then what I do, I wear my product. So it's not, I truly wear them, and things that I wear that I don't like, I don't sell. I like it, and I feel that the material is good, I check it out, then I can sell it because I can speak to it. You know, I've bought products from vendors where I did not like it and I did not sell it. And, you know, sometimes it would be a piece or two would be caught up in things, and a person would be like, oh, I like this one. Well, I'm sorry, this quality is not good. I can't sell this to you, but if you want it that bad, I will definitely give it to you.
Right. And that is a big thing because, like I said, I sold accessories, and some things get caught on everything. Some things, you put it on one time and the thing breaks.
Mm-hmm. But then for those things that happen, because my customers can reach me, and I'm truly available. I may not respond in within 24 hours, but I'm definitely accessible. So when they do, I have a customer who her earring, something happened to her. She had just bought it. So I just replaced the earring and put it in the mail the next day. And because I had really good customer service, she's a customer for life now.
Right.
So people don't, sometimes it don't be the product, it be the person behind the product and how they make that person feel. And make
yes.
that person feel important, because everybody's important. I mean, everybody is important, and for someone to make you feel that you're important, it's a good feeling.
Yes, it is, especially when you're spending your money with them. People really
people really
want to be treated a certain way. If I have to break bread with you, I want to feel like it's almost like low key. As a consumer, an entitlement. Like, yo, I'm spending $100 here. What you gonna do for me? Why?
It's a little bit of entitlement, but shouldn't you be entitled? You work hard for your money, right? You can go anywhere else, but I chose you. So if I'm choosing you, I want to be happy with this experience, because a lot of people are captivating the experience with you, because life is about experiences, right? So if they come to you and purchase a product for you and their experience wasn't great, they're not coming back, and they're going to spread that. And it's going to be horrible for your business, because unfortunately bad business spreads quicker than good.
Exactly. And again, going back to my point that people buy people. They do not buy products. Most of the things being sold They're buying your product, yes, but they're buying your personality. The reason why they are buying from you and that you can be so successful is because you exude good energy and you exude successful energy, and you make sure that that person feels wanted and loved and cared for.
Exactly.
And that is the ultimate. Well, I don't care what kind of business you are in, real estate, selling earrings, business coaching, selling bakery stuff. When you walk, selling seafood, selling sushi, I want to feel good walking in. I want to feel like if I walk into a place and it's the second or third time I've been there and the bartender remembers my name, that makes me, that just like, okay, here's my whole wallet. I just want to give it to you just because you remember my name. And only because, you know, the reason why I think like that, the funny part is because I worked in the service industry. We see people, we see hundreds of people every day, 20, 30, 40, 50. If you're in a restaurant, thousands of people, could be hundreds of people every freaking day. And you can remember certain people's names. I don't expect everybody to remember everybody's names, but if I sit at the bar, have a conversation with you, make you laugh, da-da-da-da-da, and I did say the third time I came into an establishment, not the second or the first, you know, I really kind of, it's like, wow, like even if you gotta keep a notebook or whatever it is, because sometimes I'll even do that, or put a note in the person's phone, like, hey, this is such and such. I need to answer her with their name because and some people need it a lot more than others. And I think you can tell by the way they act. Oh, you don't know who this is calling you? I'm like, yeah, girl.
Because you have to be personable. I mean, you really have to be personable. Especially, for me, like I said, I do events. So I'm very personable with my customers, whether they buy or not. When they come over into my space, it is my job to make them feel better than they felt before they left. You know, I take pride in that. You know, I don't want someone to come into my space because they're not pressured. I don't pressure anybody to purchase anything for me. I mean, sometimes I just want them to have a healthy experience and be able to put a smile on someone's face because that makes me feel good.
Yes. And that is the best thing to have, because realistically, I go to the vending events to like pick up customers or pick up people who might need business coaching, who might need information, blah, blah, blah. So I'll go. But the people who I talk to are only the people who talk to me first, because my intentions are to sell you or my product later, at the end of the day, realistically, your intention to be there was to sell me a product now. So what are you saying to me, and what are you doing to make me feel like I want to buy your product? If I walk up to your booth and you're sitting there playing on your phone like this, and I walk in, not that I have questions or anything, but you should greet me. You should say something. Mm-hmm. You have any questions? How are you today? What is your name? Sign up for my email list, kiss my ass, something. Just say something to me.
I agree. I totally agree.
And I it just disgusts me, because I do local farmers markets. I do a lot of local events and a lot of local people, and I create friendships and people like that. But I hate when I go to a vending event and all they're doing is acting like everything on their phone is more important than what's happening in front of them right now. And I'm like, why did you pay this much for your booth? I don't care if it's $20, $500, or $5,000. Why did you pay for your booth if you're not going to interact with the people who are in your presence?
And then I think for those people that operate in that fashion, maybe they feel entitled. They're like, I'm here. But that's because they're not personable. And that's customer service, very important to me, because I like good customer service. And if I get good customer service, I'm definitely going to give you all kinds of kudos, to the point where I will write a review, I will speak to your manager. So because I expect good customer service, it's only right for me to give good customer service. And so when I walk over to, because even as a vendor, when I'm doing these events, I'm still shopping with other vendors too. So I'm not just over there visiting. I'm also shopping and supporting them as well. So when I'm around shopping and introducing my business, I also pay attention to how they receive me. So if they don't receive me in a very healthy and positive manner, I will still engage with them, but I won't purchase anything from them.
Right. And that is really how it comes down to me. And that is that thing that, I don't even know what the word is for it. That is being a business owner. Like, put your acting face on, you know, when you're going into these events, put your whatever face on, your acting, and put on the show. Put the show on. That's what I'm trying to say. Put on the show. Because the only way you're going to make money at these events is putting on the show and having a little system put in place. But tonight, we're just talking about smile, nod, look presentable, be receptive, answer the questions. I don't know about your product. If I go to an event and I'm looking at her product and 10 people ask you, okay, I see these little diamond cut earrings. What kind of stone is that? Oh, CZ. Yeah, it's just a CZ. Okay. All right, thank you. I mean, for $30, I didn't expect it to be a diamond, but I just wanted to know it wasn't glass. Or, so what kind of metal is that? Well, you know, it's titanium or it's sterling silver. And then they give you attitude. I'm like, I don't know your product. I don't know what you're selling me. You know your product.
And when somebody does that, then sometimes, you know, you can be helpful and kind of give them a word of advice, but at this point, will they even receive it? But sometimes people don't know. So as you know, being a consultant, I think that would be a prime way for you to sell your product and say, hey, you know, talk to them to the side and explain to them what you do and how you can help their business and capitalize off of that.
Right. Right. But that's one of those things that I'm like, and I reach out to them, but sometimes, like, it was so funny because I talked to a lady one time at an event, and I was like, so tell me about your product. And she said, it's a good product. It works.
See, that's not good enough for me.
And that's, you see my face?
That's not
good
enough for me.
See my face. I just blinked at her like 5 times. It was like, awaiting, like, okay, it's a good product that works. Jergens says it's a good product that works, you know, but
everybody says their product is a good product that works, but I need you to sell me on this product and tell me, because, you know, I buy different all kinds of stuff at events, and some products I buy just to support because I like their personality and I like their energy, but I never use the product.
Right. That part. Or it's not a good product. And it's just like, well, you got a sale because I liked you, not because your product was superior. You know what I mean? And there, again, there's no follow-up.
But they should really, I'm sorry, I'm not selling a product that I don't personally believe in. Because you don't have passion when you do that. You know, you can't, when you're selling a product that you believe in, you're going to become passionate about it. You're going to be very passionate about it. You're going to sell the hell out of that product because you believe in it. I don't know how someone could sell something that they don't even believe in. Because you're not selling. You're hustling then. You know what I mean? You're being a hustler then. You're not truly being a business owner per se. You're being a hustler, and there's a difference.
There's a big difference. There is a huge difference. And a lot of people do not understand that difference in business. They think that just because you can go to the Secretary of State and get an LLC does not make you a business owner. Just because
you can get an EIN number. Yeah, you can get an EIN number and all that with blink of an eye, but it's what you do with that information, how you put it into rotation for you. But you got to think, if you're dealing with the population, you know, the consumers, you want to go in it with a good, pure heart. It makes you feel better.
Right. All of that is great. That's how you're supposed to come in. But that's the whole real deal, Holyfield. They think, a lot of people really out here think that, oh, I have a product, I have a t-shirt, I have a dress, I know how to find cheap stuff in a boutique, I'm going to put it on Instagram, put it on my Shopify website, and now I'm a business owner. No.
Nope, it don't work like that. It's not, you know, it's way bigger than just putting something on Shopify. You know what I mean? Because when you put stuff on Shopify, you have to market your product. And sometimes you're not marketing your product. You're marketing your brand.
Yes.
So it's a difference. You can throw something on Shopify all day, every day, and, you know, put it on social media. But really, you're marketing your brand. You're making your brand. You're creating your brand. And you're creating the brand to produce so people can come to you and receive quality products.
Right. And a lot of people
for the longest, people didn't know who was behind Eccentric Ear Candy. They had no idea who I was.
Right.
So I finally started having to actually post myself to say, okay, this is me. Even when they would see me at events, they didn't know I was the face behind it. They just thought I was somebody working the booth.
Right. But that's even better, for the simple fact is that's one thing, because there's a lot of people out there like, yeah, I'm the business owner, I know everything, but not all the time you need to tell people that you're the business owner. To actually be successful, sometimes you need to like step back and say, yeah, I just work for the company. What that does is make the company look a lot bigger than what it is. It may be a one-man or one-woman show, but at the end of the day, if you say, oh, I have two or three employees, now you look a lot more professional, because to have employees, you have to train those bastards to make sure, and they have to have your energy. And I have watched so many people build their businesses and think that their employees are supposed to know what they know because I know it. If I start working for Ear Candy right now, Eccentric Ear Candy right now, I need to go, hey, these are the products. This is what they're made of. This is the, you know, bling, Afrocentric, body jewelry. These are the categories. Like, especially if I'm not familiar with that, some of the stuff will be common sense, of course.
Right.
If I'm not familiar with it, oh, this is a charm for a necklace, it doesn't come with a chain, like there's certain things that you have to teach somebody to be, okay, this is how we take payments, here is our return policy, here's our da-da-da-da policy, so, because these are the things people are going to ask about, you know what I mean? So, you have to train your employees, they do not know, and will not know, even though if I say, hey, you know, I've been working in a boutique since I was 12 years old. I know everything about your business. You know what that says to me? You know nothing.
Yeah.
You might understand what an earring is. You understand what a necklace is. You understand what a pendant is. But depending on what boutiques you work for, and what they were looking for as a person, were you just a body ringing up people? When you work in my boutique, I want you to walk up to the customers, greet. You need to know how upselling ploys. You need to know how to get their information. Even if they don't buy anything, how can you get a customer's information without buying anything, right?
Exactly.
And they don't understand. Because a lot of boutique owners out here do not do this. And y'all like, why do I need their email and their phone number and their name?
It's crazy that you say that.
They might be broke today, but they might have $1 million tomorrow. You want to make sure that they are being kind. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I got these on sale. Hey, you know, this just came in my inventory, because if I'm not coming to your boutique every day, which 90% of your clientele is not coming every single day unless they live around the corner, like, and like you a whole lot.
And for me, you know, I have people that subscribe to my online store. And when they subscribe to my store, I actually send out, I send them emails. They get an email from me once a week, and they get an email introducing the new products. And sometimes I get an email giving them 20% off for just subscribing. So you have to engage your customers, because some of these people, mind you, did not purchase anything, but they subscribe. So to validate your point, they may not have the money yesterday, but they have the money today. But see, I also offer installments where they can do VIP payment, they can do PayPal, they can do other avenues to get their product if they don't have the money at that time.
Right. And now we have Afterpay and Kalara, yep, and all of these other things that are, what is this, Zip Pay now, that even as long as you have an online store, that anybody can use it. Sizzle, like, there's so many things for online businesses for people who only have a quarter of the money right now to purchase from you. And those are all beneficial. But if you don't get their information, they don't know. Not all the time they know. If you're not posting all this information, not all the time they know about all of these super awesome stuff that you have. So grabbing there is like 22 ways of marketing with people that does not cost business owners lots of money. I'll say lots of money because everything costs some money. So there are 12 different ways to market your business without costing you much of any money. Now, yes, it does take a little bit of work on your behalf, but it doesn't cost you a lot of money. And email blasting or drip campaigns are your best. You get them to subscribe to your drip campaign, so you're hitting them up in their email or their text every week or once a month or whatever you choose to do, so that they know about what you're selling them. And I might not buy from you for a month or 2 months after we met, but come Christmas and Thanksgiving or my daughter's birthday or my mom's birthday, and I'm like, you know what? I saw this boutique online. I think they have something that, you know, Nick would like. Let me go on this website and see if they like it. You know what I mean? And now I'm buying $100 worth of jewelry from you, only because I saw you pop up in my email.
Yep. Because it brings it. First of all, you could have slipped your mind. We're all busy nowadays, and when you see something pop in your email, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that I saw a pair of earrings I like. Let me go on her website and see what else she has. Because
right.
I've had people at events, you know, they might have been some reason why they didn't purchase, or I didn't have the product. I didn't have any more of the product at the event, but it was still online on my website, and they actually went online and ordered the product.
But those are things that, like, as a business owner, you have to put in play for people to even accept. Because I know some vendors that are vendors at events, like, so what's your website? Oh, I don't have a website, girl, you know, da-da-da-da. What you mean, girl, I know? Like, there is no reason for you not to have a website in 2022 if you are trying to sell something. Even if you have to do a Wix. I don't care what kind of website it is. Whatever technical skills you have, if you can run your Facebook and your Instagram, you can create a Wix website.
I mean, and websites are not, you know, first of all, you're not building it from scratch. You're really taking components of it and putting together the website that you want to present to the public. I built my own website. I mean, it took me a few weeks, but for me, I'm like, I refuse to pay someone something that I can essentially do myself. I just have to invest the time. Now, of course, after I created it, for a year and a half, I just worked with what I created, and I thought it was really cute. And then I fine-tuned it, but then I had someone come in, and I paid someone to fine-tune it. But doing a website, you have to be invested in your business. And when you're invested in your business, it takes you – You got to sacrifice. You got to sacrifice your time. It's really big. You got to sacrifice your time. And sometimes you're going to sacrifice your sleep.
Right. And that was one of the things you popped up in. It was like, the sleepless nights. Yes. as business owners, you don't get to quit at 5 o'clock. I mean, you can.
No.
You can try that. But
you can quit at any time you want to be exact. But really, you're shortchanging yourself. You're not benefiting yourself when you do that. I mean, if you want to get to the next level, it's very important that you put in the work. You have to put in the work. You're going to have sleepless nights, but it's called balance. So maybe Monday you work till 1 o'clock in the morning, and on Tuesday you get your rest, but not stay up so late, but you still might have to put in some work, but it might not have to be as intense as you did on Monday. But and then you have to have an outline. Like for me, I write down what I need to do, because you can't do everything in one day. But as long as you're taking time to achieve your goal and you're writing it down, you're executing every day, it actually makes you feel better, because it makes you feel like you're getting something accomplished.
Exactly. And that is one of the biggest things, is like time management is important. Again, like I said, you can stop your business from 9 to 5. If you're going to grind from 9 to 5 and build on your business, that's 8 hours a day. That's an average business owner's grind. But as business owners, we know that, hey, I'm going to eat a 2-hour lunch. I'm going to go to the gym. So that 9 to 5 is not really 9 to 5. You know, I'm going to have this conference call.
No.
I'm going to look at these products. Da 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 da. Like, I can start at 9 to 5, and if I'm going to take a day and grind from 9 o'clock till 5 o'clock, as if I clocked into a job, then I'm gonna win. But if I clock in at 9 o'clock, try this at your job, okay, guys? For the ones who are entrepreneurs yet who are not running 100%, clock in at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. We take a 2-hour brunch break. Then that's 11, 12, 1. We start back work from 1 to about 3 or 4. We take a 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock, we take another 2-hour, quote-unquote, lunch break, and then get off at 6. I mean, that's a realistic day. If you're trying to hold it between 9 to 5.
I have a full-time career. So I have a full-time career, and I have the jewelry business, and I also have a coding business. So for me, it's important for me to balance. I have to balance. I have to get my rest. I have to drink my water. I have to eat healthy. And because I'm so committed to my businesses and what I'm trying to accomplish, no, I can't go out at night and do fun things sometimes. But that's the sacrifice I'm choosing to make so I can get my businesses to the next level. So I say to anybody who's interested in starting a business that you will have to sacrifice.
You will.
And you have to be okay with that.
100% okay. I had to downsize my apartment where I live so I could have less rent, so I wouldn't have as many bills. I had to get rid of cars. I had to do a whole lot of things to become a sole business owner. I'm not talking about I don't have a 9 to 5. Any money that I make is the money. Any money that I make out here in these streets, that's the only money I get. So, with that being said,
the success is different then. You know, the grind is definitely real. And shout out and major salute to you for recognizing that this is what you want to do and this is the sacrifice I need to make to get to where I'm trying to go that I want to be. And that's a good thing. I applaud you 100%.
But that's one of those things that when you become an entrepreneur and become 100% dedicated to your passion or whatever you decide to put your energy into, your grind, you really have to dig deep within yourself to understand that. That's mental work, that's physical work, and what you were saying earlier was hitting on the point. You got to eat good. You have to exercise. You have to not drink as much. We can't party every night, all night. You know what I mean? Because I'm at an age where if I drink too much tonight, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. As a business owner, that is a whole, that's my whole day gone. I probably ignored a bunch of phone calls, and I've lost some money. Some days is $1,000, some days is $100, some days is $5,000. So I've lost some money because I didn't do that. So if I'm healthy and I keep my energy up and I can stay focused, then everything that I do doesn't take as long. You know what I mean? And I have tried. I have tried to be like, yeah, like they see on TV, I can go out here and I can party all weekend and party all night, every night, and then come up, wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning, do this work. No, no, no. Do not do that to yourself. I don't care what age you are. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. No, at least, well, it doesn't work to me. So, because one, you're going to have a meeting, you're going to do something, and you're going to be like, what was that? How was I supposed to say? Da, 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 da. I can't remember. You're going to have brain fog, and all of that comes with your diet and exercise and energy. And God forbid, don't let something negative happen in your life. Your car break down, you don't have all your rent money this month. Like, don't let life happen. You get sick. Your kid gets sick, your husband gets sick, something happens and it changes your whole dynamic of your pace. Because if you're not single with no kids and no dog, not even a dog, a cat, you know, those are probably the best entrepreneurs, are the ones who are 100% single with no responsibilities at all. But if you want to have a relationship, if you want to have children, if you want to have a family, if you like your family, you know, if you want to have a dog, if you want to have a cat, you have to expect these things not to go right during the middle of your so-called productive day. And those are all the things that you have to think about. You have to learn to say no. You have to have, what do you call it, boundaries.
You have to have boundaries. You have to have boundaries, healthy boundaries on top of that. But you also have to be okay with saying no sometimes, because anything that's going to interfere with what you have to do is an interference, and it's going to prevent you from getting to the next level in your business. And nobody will understand your grind and drive but you.
Right. And you have to understand that not everybody is going to like you or understand your mission or your cause for what you're doing. Do you know how many people say, oh, man, you're stupid. You should just go get a job. Nope. Not going to do it. Because plan A is always going to work for me. Plan A is going to work. And as long as I'm dedicated to plan A, it's going to work. And I'm going to wake up every morning, do what I need to do to make sure plan A happens. You know, if you're smart, you set automation in play where certain things, you have multiple streams of income. Like, there's ways to protect yourself in certain life, you know, scenarios. You save your money. You don't spend your money. You don't look a certain way. You wear regular ass shit. You know what I mean? You might not be able to buy Louis Gucci and all of those, you know, right now, but eventually if you grind hard enough, you'll be able to buy whatever the fuck you want to. So that is my humble thing. It's like, I talked to my business partner, was like, yeah, I sat down for 18 years and worked 18-hour days for a year to establish her business that she has now. She's pretty much low-key a millionaire. Low-key, if she's not one, she's close to it. So how many of you guys right now are dedicated, no clubbing, no going out, no drinking, sitting at your house 18 hours a day for 1 year, only 1 year, to have everything that you want? I like the silence. I love it. I love
Silencio.
It.
Silencio. Because you got to have, listen, you got to have some real dedication, and you have to see the big picture and not look at the small picture. It's way bigger than what's in front of you. And some people don't understand that, and they don't understand it. So they're going to be in the box. They're in a box.
And then it's about who you have around you influencing you. So I'm going to be honest with you. I am not at that point. Honestly, I really am not to do that. I mean, it's going to take me, I got a 5-year plan. It's going to take me 5 years to get to my first mil. So my 5-year plan is for me to, in that 5 years, is to get that 1 year in the 5 years. That's my realistic plan because I have friends and I'm a little social. And I like to talk to strangers. So, with all of that being said, it's going to take me 5 years unless I get the lick, unless I find something that takes off, that booms really quickly, like for real, for real. And that's a realistic plan. That's why people say you got to at least be in your business for 5 years before you can count it and dedicate to your business for 5 years. And yes, that's you being off on so-called weekends. That's, yes, you still doing vacation. Or we can consolidate all of this and you work for 18 hours for 1 year straight, 5 days out the week. I'm not going to say 7 days because nobody really does that, but 5 days out the week, right? I mean, that's what y'all do on your jobs right now. That's the time that y'all really spend on your jobs, especially for working at home now. Y'all wake up at 6, 7 o'clock. Prepare to go to work. Y'all work until 7, 8 o'clock. The boss hits you at someone 5 o'clock. Be like, yo, I need this done before tomorrow. Is it possible you can do it? You're like, fuck, that goes my night. That goes my dinner, da-da-da. You're technically working off the clock. But you pay your paid salary, so it's never working off the clock, per se. And now you're doing this. You worked 18 hours for 2 or 3 days to make sure this project is done to please this man or this woman because they own a Fortune 500 or a large company and they're paying you a good $70,000-$80,000 because nobody's that dedicated for under 70.
No, so, you're absolutely right. But I think that's why it's important for people to choose a profession that they like if they're going to go into that arena. And prepare yourself for something that you enjoy doing. There's nothing worse than working a job that you hate.
Right.
So even if you feel like your business is not where you would like to be, that you can wholeheartedly commit yourself, at least work for a company that you like. It won't be stressful. So you still have the mental to be able to deal with your own business. Because when you're miserable, you're unhealthy. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're happy, you're more healthy.
Yep. And the crazy part is like, I always try to tell people, like I always say there's plan A, there's plan B, and there's plan C, and there's A, B, and C, right? Or A and B. So I figured out that I'm too lazy to do a plan A and a B because I'm always going to do plan A. Plan A is what the hell Unique wants to do when she wants to do it, and I'm going to grow my business. Plan B is to have a job and have some structure in your life and do that, right? So I personally, like I commend anybody who works a job and runs a business because to me, like after you get off of your job and the stress from your job and then you got to go to this event at 7 o'clock with your stuff packed in your car, do this event until 10 o'clock at night, socialize 11, 12, you get home. Start your day over at 6 o'clock. You do that twice a week maybe or on the weekends or however you manage your time to do your event because no telling when an event's going to happen. And like that to me takes another level of commitment because I would be like, man, shit, I already got money in the bank. I got this check coming. I really don't care anymore. I'm not going to do this event. So for those people who can handle it,
So you really, for me, I do have a career and I do have my two businesses, but my drive and motivation is so big that, and I like what I do, right? So it's so big that I have to have balance. And unfortunately, I do have some friends and people who just don't understand what I'm doing, but it's not for them to understand.
Right.
It's for me to understand and me to do what I feel like I'm destined to do. And unfortunately, I have to put in the work.
Right.
And I have to put in the work a little differently because I do have children. Even though they're not small children anymore, I still have one on my payroll.
Right. And that's another thing, like having kids and everything else. So that's why I say the grind and being a business owner and being who you are out there in these streets and having that balance and having that family and having everything going on with you, like you really have to have the mental capacity to handle all of this. And you have to understand that you're in this alone, per se. Because there's going to be very few people that understand why you do what you do and why you grind so hard. And because everything is about, at the end of the day, it's about your why. Like, your why, my why is I want to be on the beach naked. Everybody laughs at me when I say this, and what does that mean, right? Beach naked. Beach naked means I have the capacity to do whatever I want when I want to. If I can sit on the beach all day naked, you know what that costs a lot of people? That's a good, like, $100, $200. So you got to understand, this is beach naked. That means money's coming in already. Because
yeah.
I still got to pay the cabana. I still got to pay the cabana boy to bring me my drinks every 30 minutes. I still need some ice in this cooler because I'm not going to carry the ice. Who does that? I need somebody to go to the store and bring me this bottle that's sitting right here. You know, my bottle of tequila, I need that. You know, I need to make sure my glass is clean because, you know, we're on the beach. The sand gets in the glass.
Right,
I need my towels to be shaking out when I get up to go in the water. You know what I mean?
You need all of that.
Right. So that's what beach naked is. Now, what does that cost? That's about $500 a day. And I'm planning to be there, every morning. I might pull up the laptop every once in a while, but I want to be able to afford that without having to worry about, damn, I can't go on the beach. It's the 29th. I can't go on the beach today because rent is due in 2 days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is the goal. Like, I don't want no worries. I want to be like, oh, you call me up tomorrow and be like, yeah, what you doing? I don't know what you want to do. Let's go to Europe.
Where are we going, Finn?
Let's go to Europe. Okay, you got your passport in, right? Yeah, I got my passport. All right, the jet, I'm going to call my pilot. Jet booked for, what time you want to wake up?
12
o'clock.
What time you want to go?
Jet booked for 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, we're going to fly out of the cab, private airport. At 1:02, at 1 o'clock, 1:15, we're gonna fly out. Can you get there by 1 o'clock? You need me to send you a driver. You need to send my people over to pack your bag. Matter of fact, don't worry about clothes. We get clothes when we get there.
We're gonna stop when we get there.
Right. Just bring an outfit and your toiletries or whatever. You don't know what you can buy. Just bring that stuff and the little duffel and let's go. That is the reason why. It's my personal reason, want to become an entrepreneur. When my daughter, her daughter, asked me, hi, can I get this? Can I get that? Yeah, here's the card. Go do what you want to do. You know what I mean? You know, I'm working. I'm trying to start my own business. My rent needs to be paid. All right, here's 6 months of bills. Boom. Focus. Get your money. That is what I want to do for people and myself and everything else. Because the real problem is out here in the world that we only think that the reason why we can't grind as hard is because we're dealing with day-to-day bullshit. The car broke down. The apartment rent is due. My house roof it needs to be fixed. Or this, the plumbing, I just got a leak in my plumbing. So we got to figure all of this shit out with this small amount of money, and we're robbing a Peter to pay Paul. I just want to give Paul a retainer. Can I get Peter, Paul, and Jane a retainer and then they hit me back up when the retainer's empty. That's the goal.
Yeah.
My biggest stress in life is why the pool guy did not clean my pool today.
And that's called goals, and everybody should have them. Because when you have goals, you're going to do what it takes to achieve them. And you're going to make the proper sacrifice to make sure that your short-term goals accommodate your long-term life.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's a good little statement, I think.
What?
I said that might have been a good little statement I just said.
Yeah, sure, quote, your short-term goals accommodate your long-term goals.
Your short-term goals, well, your goals accommodate your long-term life.
Okay.
I just made
yeah.
it up.
Yeah, I like it. Put that on a t-shirt. You know, your goals today will give you your long-term life. I mean, that's really how it goes. What you're doing today is a reflection of what will happen to you in the next 3 to 5 to 10 years, depending on how hard your grind is. So that is really the story. So we're at the last 5 minutes of the show. We actually went a lot over. Conversation was great. It's okay. So, but I want everybody to know where they can find your awesome earrings, body jewelry, at where they can find you at. And
okay. So everybody, you definitely can, I'm on IG, it's eccentric_ear_candy. I'm also on Facebook, Eccentric Ear Candy. I'm on TikTok, Eccentric Ear Candy. And my website is www.eccentriceearcandy.com. I'm also going to give you my number in case you forget all of this information. So if you text me, you can text my business number, and I definitely will respond. The number is 470-454-0533. Again, 470-454-0533. Website, www.eccentriceearcandy.com. Just look me up, and if you have any questions or concerns, or you just want to have a chat with me, I'm here for you. I'm definitely here for you. And like I said numerous times on this podcast, I definitely believe in giving good energy and receiving good energy. And you don't per se have to purchase my product. If you have a question for me and I can help you in any way, hit me up. I'm here. And thank you. Shout out to you, Unique, for allowing Eccentric to be on your platform. I really appreciate it.
That is awesome. I appreciate you coming on and being so punctual today. This has been an awesome conversation, an awesome talk. And I hope you have an awesome day and a successful business. This will be shared on IG, Facebook, Instagram. It's on Blog Talk Radio Live now, Spotify, all streaming live right now, and will be stored. So for you to watch it or replay it, please watch, replay, share. Just anybody who wants to start a business, who has a business, who needs some encouragement to understand that this is the grind for a business owner, please like, share, reshare, share it again. That doesn't cost you anything. You know that, right, y'all guys? You know, you can share as much as you want to. Share her page. Share her Ear Candy page as much as you want to. Please, support small businesses out here. That's what I'm here for, is to give small business a platform to show them how awesome they are and how successful they can and will be. So thank you for being on this show. Again, like and share this with everybody out there. Talk to you later. And subscribe if you're on YouTube.
Have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.